come before God once again. Shepherd God, as we come before your word in this time, speak your good news to us. Fill us with your gospel. Remind us to listen for your voice at all times and to find comfort in knowing you, even during our darkest days, are with us. Amen. There is so much pain in the world in need of healing. Natural disasters seem to abound in our fractured world, the latest of which took place in Japan from Thursday to Saturday with quakes and aftershocks. Many are injured. Many more are displaced from their homes, and all are trying to piece their lives together again. There's so much pain in the world in need of healing. The Middle East continues to be a place of unrest and unease. Lives continue to be lost, and refugees seek new homes after theirs are taken away from them. And yet, people seeking refuge is not something that we do not know. In our own city, in our own lives, many continue to sleep in the streets, wanting for things that we don't even think of not having. There is so much pain in the world in need of healing. There was a woman named Tabitha, a good and godly woman who cared much and gave more to the poor and the outcast in her society. She lost her life to illness, like many we know do, and like those many we know and love. Her time seemed to come too soon. The first two of these three stories, they're all kind of part of our day-to-day lives. They dominate our everyday. Disaster strikes, and people are left reeling, and yet we hopefully come together to pick up the pieces. Terror strikes, and hopefully people seek hope. The third story comes to us from our reading from the Acts of the Apostles. But in all three, we're confronted with a world that just doesn't seem fair. It makes us feel helpless because the event happens outside of our control, and makes us feel hopeless because it could happen again and again and again. And with tragic stories that are filled with oppression and terror, it hits us that much harder because the earthquake in Japan was a natural disaster, something that we could not have stopped. And Tabitha dying from illness, well, that was something, again, that we could not have stopped. But terror being imposed by human beings on other human beings, the indifference that people feel towards the refugee and the homeless, that's human indifference. Our view of all humanity is shaken when we see that terrible things that people are capable of doing. When we are confronted by the vastness of our collective brokenness, we begin to focus more on the darkness of our species, and we miss the light. Light. It's an interesting thing to think about what we mean when we say such a simple word. On a day like today, it's the sun shining, reminding us that spring is here. For others, it's that nightlight in their baby's room, keeping imagined monsters at bay. For others, it could be a candle that's lit when the power goes out. But that candle is security. It's hope that the power will return. For Christians, light means something altogether different, and yet so very much the same. For us, light is a way of talking about Christ, about the one who shines in the midst of our darkness, keeping us safe and giving us hope. It's those times of deepest darkness, of the most terrible of human terror, that we start looking towards that nightlight, to ward away the very real monsters in our world. And in spite of fear and despair, we search out that flickering candle of hope to remind us that sense will return to a world of chaos. And we grasp for the light of Christ, that light that heals the wounded, that we as a people will be made whole in the aftermath of any tragedy or terror. In the face of horrible acts, just as often as we ask, why would anyone do this, or how could the police or anyone in authority allow something like this to happen, we ask, why would God let this happen? Why didn't God step in and do something? We ask this because, as Christians, we have this story of Christ's life, and throughout Christ's life on earth, he went around and healed a great many people who had to deal with much tragedy and death in their lives. We wonder where that healing hand is to touch our wounded hearts, where the shepherd's staff is to guide a people who have become so lost. The truth is, there is no shortage of blame being thrown on the shoulders of the divine. And maybe some of it's justified, but only because in our creation we are given the power of choice and the ability to act on those choices. Still, Christ came and seemingly tried to change things in spite of the choices of society. So why then, and why not now? There might never be an answer to that question, but the reading from the Acts of the Apostles offers us a glimmer of hope, some light that we can grab hold of. In this story, we hear of a woman, Tabitha or Dorcas. She's suffering from illness, and she dies. She's a woman who was well known and well loved for her acts of goodness in all of her community. Like anyone who is well loved, when they leave this world, the people were devastated. They were stricken with grief, and in their grief, they sought the healing presence of a man that they knew to be close by, a man who could heal their wounded community. And he does. And more than helping people with their grief, he brings miracles with him. This great man comes into town, prays at Tabitha's bedside, and calls her to rise. And those words and that prayer are filled with such power that the woman does indeed rise. But this isn't a story about the healing power of Jesus Christ. The great healer in this story is none other than Peter, the disciple who always questioned Christ, the one who denied knowing him, the one who was called by Christ to feed his sheep. I love these stories of Peter because he seems like the most unlikely of leaders after Christ dies. He reminds us that we, as maybe as rock-headed as we are, Peter meaning rock, of course, as thick as we can often be to the call of Christ, we too can work miracles in this world. Because through Peter, the power of God acted. Because Peter chose to love in spite of hate. He chose life in spite of death, and he chose to act in the face of apparent defeat. This is an important reading because it reminds us that the power to heal, the power to change where we are going in this world has not gone away. That through us there can be goodness in this world, there can be healing, there can be joy even. Because Christ didn't come to change the world in one fell swoop. He didn't come to change the world right away. He came to offer us, to offer all of us, a choice. A glimpse of the light of hope, a path leading to a world of life and love. The problem is that it is ever our choice to walk that path and to protect that light. Again, we speak of light. Light that shines in and through us. And that light is magnified when we offer a helping hand to our fallen neighbor or our cloak to a homeless stranger. And that light is made brilliant when we choose to act out in love instead of responding in fear. And even in those times when all seems lost, when darkness seems to be engulfing us completely, let us remember this. No matter how dim or how bright, the light within us acts as a reminder that as great as darkness is, it can be dispelled, if only for an instant, by the smallest of sparks. So I encourage you to go from this place and be a spark of new life in the community around you. Light the flame of love and carry Christ's message of God's love to all. Because in the wake of tragedies that we face as a people, how we respond shows who and whose we are. Let us be children of the light, bearers of the love, and bringers of new life wherever we go. Get up, all of you, and embrace the new life that we find in Christ. Amen. At this time, I'd like